Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics. Here's your host, Kyle Charters.
Purdue hit the offseason earlier than expected following its NCAA first-round loss. What's next? We start there on Golden Black Radio. Plus, some takeaways from spring football. Kyle Charters here with Brian Newark. We'll talk to Tom Dienhart in a couple of minutes. Brian, the Boilermakers lost in the first round to North Texas, the Mean Green, taking it to Purdue. It's been a couple of days now, so sort of the immediacy of Purdue's early exit wears off a little bit. But certainly, I think there are a lot that hope that at the very least it motivates Purdue. And I know that's sort of cliche to say, but it does feel like this is a group that can take something from, you know, that kind of disappointment into the offseason.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I don't think Purdue wasn't motivated going into the postseason, but I think obviously, you know, sometimes things like this can help you in the long run. I mean, I think what everybody needs to keep in mind was this was the ground floor of what this team is building, you know, and for Purdue to just get back to the NCAA tournament with one of the youngest teams in the country during a pandemic when you had all the circumstances you had this year too, with four or five major personnel situations in terms of injuries or illness or whatever, that's a pretty big deal. Now, the reason it sucked so bad the other night for Purdue was because Purdue changed expectations for itself, because Purdue was better than everybody thought it would be, and it was good sooner than, you know, conventional logic would have said they probably would be. So they were kind of a victim of their own success there at the very end, but that's sort of the best kind of problem to have. I think, you know, maybe for fans who might have been a little despondent on Friday night, understandable considering how credible Purdue's chances of doing something meaningful in the NCAA tournament seem to be, but maybe a little bit of perspective comes in the fact that this NCAA tournament has been a complete train wreck in terms of seeds holding. So you're going to have at least, what, four double-digit seeds in the Sweet 16 now. You've also got Loyola in there, a mid-major, albeit a criminally underseeded one. This looked to me like as rock-solid a seeding structure this year as, you know, perhaps any tournament I can remember, and that was the exact opposite of the truth because what happened to Purdue Friday night's been happening to everybody, it seems like. And Purdue is going to be fine. I mean, that's I don't think what happened in the postseason really changes anything in terms of what they can be next year. It might take a little bit of shine off the preseason rankings a little bit. I don't know. But, you know, Purdue can bring all these guys back. Whether everybody comes back or not remains to be seen. But this team can come back largely intact and continue to grow together, continue to get better, have a normal offseason, get a trip to Europe in August, you know, fingers crossed for them on that front, and keep getting better. And what you saw, you know, at the end of the regular season and throughout this whole season screams of a team that, you know, the college basketball world can be a toy store here pretty soon. That's the goal, just keep getting better, keep growing together, and don't be deterred by what just happened in the postseason. You know, try to get better off of it.
You mentioned the sort of upside-down nature of this NCAA tournament. You know, there's the one region, I think it's the Midwest, right, where the remaining teams are the two, which is only remaining because Rutgers just decided to go into its four-minute offense with 4 minutes to go with a 10-point lead and just decided to stop trying to score.
And couldn't finish at the rim twice.
Yeah. The 2, the 8, the 11, and the 12, or something like that. Any theory behind the tournament? I mean, I guess I've heard some, and maybe there's something to it. You know, veteran teams in a weird year are winning more, regardless of whether they're less talented than their opponents. But, you know, it's not like Illinois was a young team. I mean, it's got a bunch of guys who had played you know, even if the class next to their name doesn't say they're a veteran, they certainly have played a ton. I don't know. I don't know if there's something to that or not, or just it's just too much weight was given to major conferences in a year in which there was less non-conference games, and thus it was weighted too heavily toward the big guys. I don't know, but, you know, it's clearly some of those lower seeds were pretty good.
Yeah, I just think this was the most random season in college basketball history, and I think it's only fitting that it ends with one of the most random tournaments I can remember thus far. And, I mean, obviously there's still 2 weekends left to go here, so God knows what will happen here the next couple weeks. But I don't know if there's any rhyme or reason to it. You know, it does make sense that a veteran team would have some advantages, but I've said that all year long about playing college basketball in a pandemic, that the teams with the most experience, the most maturity would have advantages, and I don't know if that necessarily was the case. I think young teams had real disadvantages, and I think that's why the Kentuckys and the Dukes and them were down as much as they were. Michigan State comes to mind, too, but then Purdue, you know, does just fine. I think there's two sides of that coin, too. I think the lack of distractions all year long, you know, might have helped a team like Purdue, because during a road trip, there's not people around during timeouts, during games. There's nothing to look at. There's no one yelling at you. There's no T-shirt gun being fired off that can, you know, can distract people. So I think it's kind of a double-edged sword in terms of how this all played out. But, you know, I assume it's just coincidence that Purdue didn't win another game as soon as fans came back. But I think that who the hell knows what all went into this?
Yeah.
I don't know. But, you know, I am starting to think maybe there's a little bit to this whole Big Ten thing, where the Big Ten, they just spend too long during the season kind of beating up on one another. They play a very distinct physical style. They guard the hell out of one another, and then they get to the NCAA tournament. And I've always thought going into the tournament that once the Big Ten people get away from one another, they have an advantage. It might be the other way around, because they might be so conditioned to play battle bots all year long that when they get to somebody else, you know, perhaps there's a little bit of adjustment there. There's a little bit of disadvantage there. I don't know, but obviously the Big Ten's results thus far are not what anybody had in mind here. By every metric, this was, you know, the best conference in college basketball this season, one of the best ever. And they have basically tripped all over themselves here in the postseason. And there's got to be something to that. It can't just be some sort of random fluke. But I'm not smart enough nor astute enough to put my finger exactly on what that is.
Yeah. 6-6, the Big Ten in the NCAA tournament. All three teams that played in the round of 32 on Sunday lost. Of course, there will be more opportunities. With Michigan, Iowa, and Maryland coming up still with their second round games. You know, as for Purdue, Brian, they've lost some first round games in which the Boilermakers have been favored. I mean, the two most notable here, I guess, in recent history, probably against North Texas, against you know, Little Rock. I don't know. Somebody's going to have to show me statistically if Purdue has done that any more than anyone else over the last 15 years for a program that, you know, regularly makes it into the NCAA tournament. I'm not convinced that is the case, that Purdue has lost more of those games than anyone else. I think teams lose. It happens. But any commonality, you think, with Purdue in first-round losses like they have sustained over the years?
Well, how many first-round games in a row did they win before they lost to Cincinnati that year? Like 10, 12? I mean, I don't think – I think if you get to the tournament every year, you know, you're going to lose to lower-seeded teams every now and then, and I think that's a compliment. The Little Rock game and the North Texas game have nothing to do with one another. The Little Rock game was simply a matter of Purdue didn't put the game away when it had a chance to put the game away, and it allowed crazy things to happen, and crazy things happened. Basketballs are round and full of air, and sometimes they bounce in funny directions, and that's exactly what happened against Little Rock. The North Texas game was just North Texas was better, and that happens sometimes. I mean, they were really good. They were really good on defense. They had a great defensive game plan that they executed well. They made shots. They really gave Purdue problems with their offense because Purdue couldn't stop the dribble. It was basically if you'd watched the game, you would have had no idea which team was the 13 seed and which team was the 4 seed. And that's a compliment to North Texas, but also an indictment of how Purdue played too, but more so an indictment of or a compliment to North Texas. That happens sometimes too. Look how much better Loyola was than Illinois yesterday. That was a clinic.
Yeah.
it happens, man. It's basketball. And when you get to the NCAA tournament every year, like Purdue has, you know, you're going to lose. You're going to get upset twice out of, 17 games or however many.
Yeah.
It's been under Painter. I don't think this is a trend. I don't think Purdue's any more vulnerable to this than anybody else. We're talking about two games here. They've lost to a double-digit seed. It's not like they just get to the tournament every year and completely, wet themselves. Look what they did 2 years ago to Old Dominion when they had every reason to, really struggle out of the gate after the bizarrest non-injury injury I think I've ever seen to Nojel Eastern right before the game. They took care of business there. I can't think of any other games they've played against double-digit seeds in the first round where they've really even labored, let alone lost. They handled Vermont a couple years ago in Milwaukee, as I recall correctly. That was a good veteran Vermont team. I don't think there's anything to that. I think sometimes when something like this happens, we can be prisoners of the moment. And I think if you've read the internet at all here in the last 36 hours, you see that games like this make, kind of trigger a referendum on everything. Purdue shouldn't be playing through the post so much. Purdue needs to go out and get a new guard, or Purdue needs to do this or that, because nothing's working after you lost one game, albeit the most consequential game of the season. I think everything's outsized when a disappointing loss like this happens, but the reality is things are never really as bad as they seem. Purdue still had a hell of a season, and Purdue is going to be back in this thing next year. They'll probably be playing another double seed, and they'll probably kick the hell out of that team and then probably beat the next team that they play and be right back in the Sweet 16. That would be my guess right now, but obviously nobody can tell the future. But that's what history would tell us will probably be the case. God, that was a long answer.
Who needs the – who – yeah.
What did I even say? I just talked for like an hour.
I actually left the room for a minute and came back. I have no idea what you were talking about. That's not true. Who needs the biggest offseason?
Everybody. Purdue just needs a normal offseason. Purdue didn't have one last year. Nobody had one last year. But, that's the best thing Purdue has going for it right now is normalcy, is that presumably you get an opportunity here to have a real offseason. And, I keep using the term kind of grow together, which sounds like a bad presidential campaign slogan. But that's exactly what Purdue needs to do right now. They just need to get a good offseason. They need to get a good conditioning program. They need to get just some normalcy, some stability in an offseason and all that stuff. And that's going to help them, make that jump, presumably, from good to great. And I don't think that jump is necessarily an absolute certainty, but I think it's a likelihood. And I think the most important part of this is that they don't fall into that trap Northwestern fell into years ago, where everybody, was telling them how good they're going to be, and they kind of took things for granted and kind of loafed through the off season and you know, but Purdue basketball and Northwestern basketball are two very different things. I just use that as kind of an example, but I don't think that's going to be a problem for Purdue. I think this is a pretty driven team and a pretty self-motivated team that's kind of conditioned to work. And I think Jaden Ivey really sets a tone for this whole program right now, because he's so motivated and so businesslike. And I think he really took ownership of this team back in the offseason to this year. And I think you would have seen it come out a lot sooner than you actually did had he not had the foot issue early in the season. But I think Purdue's going to have some guys really, really, really setting a tone this offseason. I think the juniors did a better job from the leadership perspective this year. They can do a better job next year even. But I think there are some pretty driven young guys on this team, too, that are going to set a pretty good tone for this offseason.
A couple of quick ones here before we get to Tom to talk a little bit of spring football. Purdue has a coaching position now open with Micah Shrewsbury having taken the head job at Penn State. Do you anticipate that being filled quickly, and do you think that it will be a former player or former coach who has been here previously?
To the second part of that question, no, I don't. Not for this position. If you're asking me about Paul Lusk, I don't think so, because I think that he's more of a defensive guy. And I think when that position opens, when Steve Blatz gets a head coaching job eventually, that could be this year for all we know, then I think Paul Lusk is somebody Purdue obviously looks at and probably would be very interested in coming back. As far as a former player goes, I think that Purdue has graduated past the point of these being entry-level jobs for former players. I think these will be national searches. These will be sought-after positions. Matt Painter has a great reputation in the business as somebody who's great to work for. He has a lot of respect in the business. Purdue's program is obviously winning. It's proven to be a pretty good launching pad for head coaching jobs. The last two times they've had an opening, they hired a guy away from the NBA, and they hired a guy away from a really successful high major program in Creighton. So I think that, you know, this is going to be a wide open search, a national search, and you have a chance to make another really elite kind of hire here. Who that would be, I have no idea at this point. Whether it happens quickly, it wouldn't surprise me if it did. Because, you know, when Painter brought Micah Shrewsbury back, he did so with the hope, or the expectation, if not the hope, that this would only be a 1 or 2 year deal and he'd have to replace him pretty quickly. So I think that he obviously would have been smart to have a list in the back in his mind, and probably does. But one guy I kind of wonder about here is Greg Lansing, who's the former Indiana State head coach, a longtime Painter buddy. He has an offensive background. He was an assistant coach at Iowa before he got the Indiana State job. He's well-known and well-liked in Indiana, all of that stuff. It would make sense if that's somebody who he'd look at. This could happen like today for all we know, because, you know, obviously Greg Lansing needs a job. He's available. Painter has the opening. He's known he would have the opening for some time, so conversations could have started. I don't have any really good reason to believe it is Greg Lansing. I'm just bringing him up because it makes sense out there. So don't construe this as me reporting they're hiring Greg Lansing, listeners. I'm just saying that if it's somebody where groundwork could have been laid here, this could happen very quickly. Remember, they announced Micah Shrewsbury like a day after the Virginia game, if I recall correctly, 2 years ago. And this could be very similar for all I know, but I don't really have any reason to believe for sure that something's going to happen like right now. I'm just saying it's very possible.
Right. Much more on the aftermath of Purdue's exit from the NCAA tournament at goldandblack.com. Thanks, Brian.
No problem.
Let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll bring in Tom Dienhart, talk a little bit of post-spring football. That's right, spring football is already over. How did that happen? We'll do that coming up next on Gold and Black Radio. As we blitz into 2021, JFQ Lending is extending an exclusive offer for Gold and Black members to take advantage of historically low mortgage rates. JFQ Lending will cover any out-of-pocket costs for an appraisal when required. In addition, they will cover the underwriting fee of $1,365. JFQ Lending has a Better Business Bureau A rating with more than 2,000 reviews. They work with top lenders and do the hard work of finding the best deal for you. If you're curious whether refinancing your mortgage is a good decision, reach out to Andrew Hogberg today. Call 480-478-0257 or email Andrew at A Hogberg, that's A-H-O-G-B-E-R-G at jfqlending.com. That's jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard-to-shop-for and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
It's time to boiler up and join the Brahm Squad by gearing up with the best selection of Purdue apparel in stock only at Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Shop Follett's late on game day weekends. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945. If you can't make it to the game, shop online at FollettsPurdue.com.
The Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus is your experienced real estate group in Greater Lafayette. If you're looking to list, buy, upsell, downsize, or anything else, give me a call or text at 765-412-5217 or email Kyle at chartersteam.com.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue Athletics.
And Kyle here with Tom to talk a little bit of spring football now that it's over. It's over, Tom. How did that happen? So, like today, isn't today like the first day of spring? Is today the first day of spring?
I think it was Saturday. Yeah, I think it was Saturday. I'm not sure. But, yeah, you're right. We've got an early start, Kyle. 15 spring sessions in the books. 3 scrimmages, the third of which concluded spring drills on Friday, my friend. So, yeah, it's in the books. It's just a memory now. The off season begins, and, yeah, the long wait, the long march till September 4th when Purdue opens at home against the mighty Oregon State Beavers. So, yeah, a lot to digest here, and heard you talking to Brian about a job opening maybe soon to be filled there. Well, remember, too, Jeff Brohm still has an opening on his staff to replace Anthony Poindexter, and he said, you know, the hire probably wouldn't happen until the conclusion of spring drills, and here we are. So maybe we'll get some news on the new addition here in the next week or so.
Yeah. One of the strangest springs probably ever, considering, and understandably so, you didn't watch a second of it, right? I mean, not 1 second. Had Zoom interviews. I mean, it's just different. That's for sure. So, you know, in years past, we've been able to watch the whole thing, and, you know, obviously there's reasons why you can't do that this year. But what do you take away from from what's being communicated to you? What are the big takeaways about what Purdue got accomplished?
Well, going in, I think that there were two main goals. Number one was installing that new defense. Totally new defensive staff this year, a new line coach, linebacker coach, cornerback coach, safety coach, coordinator. And so they wanted to get this new defense installed, a base 4-man front. It's going to be multiple. It's going to be very aggressive, we're told, by not just the coordinator, Brad Lehrer, but also Jeff Brohm. It's also important to note that Jeff has been very emphatic about saying he's going to be very involved with the defense as well. That's already taken place this spring in meetings and whatnot. So that was one of the top goals, and they seem pretty pleased with the progress there. And offensively, of course, it's getting better at the running game. The last 2 years, Purdue's finished last in the Big Ten in rushing. Now, we all know Purdue's never going to be the 1995 Nebraska Cornhuskers, but you have to have some semblance of a decent ground game just to keep offensive off balance, right? We all know that. And that's the goal here. They want to be more physical. The line has more depth than ever under Brohm. It's still a work in progress, but they seem pretty pleased so far. And it's also interesting to note here just the emphasis on this goal to run the ball better, Kyle, the fact that they now have 2 full-time assistant coaches devoted to the offensive line. Of course, Dale Williams is still the coach. Now Neil Calloway has been promoted from senior analyst to assistant offensive line coach. And, Kyle, I never and think of college programs having two full-time assistant coaches devoted to the O-line. So, again, they seem kind of pleased there, but like the defense, Kyle, there's still work to do as far as making sure that ground game is where they want it to be.
Purdue's pulled in a number of transfers from the portal here during the offseason and a few more of them recently. Do you think there's still an opportunity that they'll – I can think of at least two major spots, right? I mean, maybe running back, maybe place kicker perhaps, that they would focus on during the offseason. You think there's still a chance that Purdue adds to its roster?
Oh, there's no doubt about that. I feel pretty confident they're going to add some more transfers here. Expect a defensive tackle to be added here any day now. And I wouldn't be shocked if they see maybe a safety at some point. I think they need better depth there. If they could get a kind of a game-breaking back, that would be good, too. And the kicking you mentioned was just, I guess, horrendous this spring. And there's three guys competing. Nobody really impressed. So long story short, if they find somebody they think can help them, probably at any position except for maybe quarterback and receiver, they're going to try to add that person, I think. So, yeah, so that's something for fans to sort of continue to monitor here moving forward. Probably, Kyle, all the way up through the summer.
Yeah. You going to break it down here position by position, or what's the plan over the next couple of weeks?
Yeah, I'm going to post something shortly here, just the 10 things I learned this spring. I'm going to do, like you said, sort of a position review, and I'm also starting to work on projected depth charts post-spring style as well as 2D for offense, defense, and special teams. And tomorrow, Kyle, pro day at Purdue. You're going to have Rondale Moore, Lorenzo Neal, Derek Barnes, Grant Herman, Simeon Smiley, Brendan Thieneman, all working out amongst, you know, a raft of NFL scouts. So if you've been following social media, you've seen this has been going on at other schools. Purdue's day, again, is tomorrow. Big day for these guys, Kyle. No combine this year, so puts even more emphasis on these pro days for these guys to perform well in front of NFL eyeballs.
Yeah. Well, we'll look for all of that and much more at goldenblack.com. Thanks, Tom.
Take care, buddy.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back. We'll put a wrap on this podcast. We'll do that coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa, not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill, industrial and classic. The restaurant is built like a steakhouse, but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table. Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today.
Welcome to Golden Black Radio as we take a look at this week in Purdue athletics.
Much more at goldenblack.com on the end of the basketball season and also the end of spring football as both of those programs start to look ahead into the fall. Be sure to check that out, goldenblack.com. That'll do it for our podcast for this Monday. We'll be back again to drop our next Monday. Thanks to our sponsors, as always, and for Brian Newbert and Tom Deanhart, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.